Hello and welcome into Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson, presented by We the Patriots USA. Thank you for watching us on the We the Patriots USA Rumble channel and Red Voice Media, and for listening on New Hampshire Family Radio WLMW 90.7 FM Manchester, New Hampshire, KKVV Radio in Las Vegas, Real Talk 93.3 The Voice of Freedom in St. Louis, and anywhere you listen to your podcasts. If you'd like us on your station, email us at Taryn@WeThePatriotsUSA.org. All month long here on Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson, we have special edition episodes. We are surrounding, taking the whole month of November and focusing on Shot Dead, which premiered on November 9th. It's our first We the Patriots USA official production documentary feature film, and we are humbled to tell the stories of these families who have lost their children to the COVID shot. Now, we are taking these interviews, so much falls on the cutting room floor during the making of these films, but we want you to hear their full interviews because they're so powerful just standing alone, but they're even more powerful when they're all put together into this story along with the experts like Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, and so on and so forth that also back up and show that these families, what they experience, what they're going through is real, and they tell you the scientific explanations behind all of this. But again, it's so powerful to see all of these stories put together from the human side. That's what we wanted to do, was show you the humanity. The humanity was lost during the pandemic. We were resulted into numbers, lab rats, people that were mandated to do things against our will or to just assimilate in society. And people lost their loved ones to this. People lost their children to this. And today you are going to hear the full-length interview from Ernest Ramirez, a single father who lost his 16-year-old son 5 days after receiving the Pfizer shot. His story is emotional. It's powerful. It's heartbreaking. You are going to want to team up with us to help him seek justice. Now that we know that these COVID shots had contaminated gene sequences in them, we can go after these pharmaceutical companies and hold them liable. Team up with us at WeThePatriotsUSA.org. Go deeper into these stories at ShotDead.org, and go deeper in particular to Ernest Ramirez's story today here on Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson. This episode is brought to you by The Carnivore Bar, providing a fuel source for ancestral, carnivore, paleo, and keto eaters who value their on-the-go autonomy without sacrificing quality nutrition. For 10% off, use code WeThePatriots at carnivorebar.com. That's WeThePatriots with an S at carnivorebar.com for 10% off.
Where do we go from here? Because the battle has just begun. As eyes open, we continue to arm ourselves with the truth in all aspects of our lives, asking questions and relentlessly searching for answers, educating ourselves and forging a new path forward. Hear from real people faithfully pursuing freedom. This is Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson, presented by We the Patriots USA, a nonprofit 501c3 organization working to preserve and reclaim our God-given inalienable rights.
I taught my son how to love God, country, and family. So like I said, if I don't do what I'm doing, I could hear him telling me, you know, you need to practice what you preach. So that's why I have to keep doing this. You know, I have no choice. Because what was it, about the first year, I was ready to give up. I didn't think I was accomplishing anything. I didn't think it was getting out there. And I called Brianne Dressing because me and her were best friends. You know, she's a real good friend of mine. I said, I'm sorry, I'm tired, baby. You know, I'm not going to do this no more. Nobody's listening. And she would always tell him, no, Ernest, you don't realize. I said, no, that's it, man. That's it for me. And for some reason, I was going through my file box, and I found a Father's Day card, my last Father's Day card. And I just started crying for probably about 3 or 4 hours on the couch. I figured that was his way of telling me to don't give up, to keep on fighting. And that's the same one I have on the back of my motorcycle. I figured, well, I found it. I got to put it on my bike, you know, just to remind me why I'm doing this. So, I mean, that's the main reason. Like I said, I have to honor my son any way I can. I think he'd be proud of it. I mean, I just picked it up last week, and as soon as I walked to that side door, I seen it was like a life-size picture, and I started crying because I could almost feel like I could hug him. And I think he'd be proud of it because, like I said, I have a lot of people that made graphics, designs for the trailer from all over Canada and Australia, but it was just about Junior. I said, no, this trailer's not about just Junior. I said, it's about Junior and all the vaccine injured that we have. I said, because there's thousands of it. People look at the trailer and they'll tell me, man, that's a lot of people. I said, no, it's not. That's not even a little bit. I said, there's more. I said, I would need 18-wheelers to put everyone's picture on it. I said, this is just a little tiny bit of it. So, I mean, I still have people asking me if I could put their nieces, nephews, sons, daughters. And the thing is, I don't want to make the pictures too small. I want people to actually be able to see the faces of each person that's on here. And like I said, I'm going to, you know, continue doing it. I need to keep pushing, you know, for their attention. I mean, like I said, if nobody else is doing it here in the U.S., I don't see it. I see Canada putting some pictures up on an 18-wheeler, but I don't think I think it's just pictures tape, which they're doing it for a good reason, though, too. But I want to do this, you know, even more. I mean, we need more people to stand up is what we need. I've said it plenty of times. I said, we have women. I see thousands of women at these different events, very few men. And I always say, these men need to grow a pair. You know, you need to grow a pair and fight back, you know, whether it affected your family or not, because eventually it's going to. And don't come to me later and say, I'm sorry, I should have listened to you. No, I'm telling you now. I said, because I don't have to be here. I could tell you need to worry about your own, and I can keep on trying to live a normal life. But I'm not like that. I never taught my son to be like that. So they need to stand up. They're supposed to be the kings of their castles, protectors of their families. I said, even if you don't have kids, you have nephews, nieces, and or your grandchildren, or anything, you know, you need to stand up for the kids, because it takes everyone. What do they say? It takes a village to raise a child. Well, this is on a world level here. The day Junior was born, he was held like this, like a loaf of bread. They told me, here, he's yours. You take care of him, and which I did. I mean, I was proud. He made me proud all the time. Like I said, Junior was my best friend. When he was 7 years old, I never knew my father, and so I don't know what that a father's love is. I never had that male role in my life, and I swore my son's not gonna know what that feels like to not have that dad there. So I was always there, you know, catering to him. He wasn't spoiled. He was a good kid. He never gave me any problems, never gave me any trouble, never talked back. And when he was 7, I said, you know what? I bought a couple of baseballs, gloves and a baseball. And I said, you know, just to play catch with my boy. And then it got to the point where, you know, he picked it up right away. And I started throwing it harder and faster. And then hey, Dad, you're going to hit me. I said, no, that's your protection. As long as you have your glove in your hand, you know, you're not going to get hurt. So he started throwing it just as hard and straight, too. So he got good. And he told me, Dad, I want to play baseball. I said, okay. So I signed him up. I didn't even realize that when I went to sign him up, they asked me if I'd coach. I said, no, I'm not a coach. They said, well, can you at least pick the teams? I said, sure. Next thing you know, okay, here are your kids, coach. This is your team. I got stuck in it, but I'm glad because we enjoyed it. Me and Junior, I lived for, you know, hurrying up, getting out of work because we had practice today. We had a game today. Junior became one heck of a baseball player. I had a gentleman I stopped to get something to eat. He recognized me. He goes, hey, sir, and your son, Ernesto, how's he doing? and he didn't know what happened. And, you know, it just got me, and I told him. And he goes, "Coach, I'm sorry." She goes, "He was such a good baseball player. My son was on your team." I said, "Yes, I appreciate it." And because he would taunt. Junior was the type, even if he just got to first, he would run halfway and he would taunt the pitchers. And they would throw the ball and he'd steal a base. And he would do that all the way home. And it got to the point after a few times, the coaches would yell at the pitchers, "Leave Ernesto alone, leave him alone." And he kept on. And I know the pitchers would get mad. I could see it in their face. And they would do it anyway. And Junior would just, you know, take advantage of them. Or he'd come up to bat. All the coaches, "Ernesto's on base," and everybody would move back. He'd go up to pitch. You know, he was really good. He had a good arm. He didn't like to be a pitcher. He always liked to play first base, but he was the best I had.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson, a special edition featuring the full-length interview from Father Ernest Ramirez, who lost his 16-year-old son 5 days after the Pfizer shot. We will be back in just a moment. Today's case spotlight: We the Patriots USA vows to hold COVID shot manufacturers liable for fraud in EUA applications. On October 23rd, just days before the completion of this film, We the Patriots USA broke the news that it intends to file litigation against Pfizer for its failure to disclose the presence of contaminants in the shots to the regulatory authorities or the public in seeking emergency use authorization. Ernest Ramirez, the Martins, they have already agreed to be plaintiffs in that litigation. These families featured in our documentary, Shot Dead. We are asking for your help to stand up for these children and so many others who have been shot dead. Join the fight to get justice for the victims by making a donation at WeThePatriotsUSA.org.
Welcome back into WeThePatriotsUSA.org's Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson. They are also the ones behind the film Shot Dead. I was just humbled to help produce and direct. You can go watch it at shotdead.org. You were seeing the full-length interview from Ernest Ramirez, father of 16-year-old Ernesto Ramirez Jr., who died 5 days after the shot. You can see his story and how it goes along with so many other parents who have lost their children to this at shotdead.org. See the full feature-length film there. But for now, here's Ernest's interview.
Yeah, I mean, that was just something we lived for. I've been asked to continue coaching, maybe that would help me. And I said I couldn't because it brings back too much memories, because he should still be here. I'd coached Little League from since he was 7 all the way till he got to high school. And like I said, it was a great pastime for us. That, fishing, you know, like I said, we just had so much, even road trips. We had so much fun together. And then when the COVID hit, you know, naturally everything comes to a halt. And I said, okay, you know, I wouldn't let him out. You know, even his best friend lived across the street. I wouldn't let him go over there. They had to talk on the phone or on the games that they played. And April 19th, before that, when Pfizer came out and said it was safe for teenagers, I waited a little while. I took the Moderna, both, and I didn't get reactions until, you know, recently. And anyway, I said, well, I'm okay. I said, Pfizer says it's safe. You want to go get it? He goes, sure, Dad. You know, like nothing. You know, kids don't like shots, but, you know, what we're living through with this COVID issue, supposedly, we figure we're protecting ourselves. So I took him to take the first shot, you know, and we were wearing the mask, sanitizer, like they told us. They promised it would help us. 5 days later, my neighbor, Junior's best friend's mom, she called me, "Mister, can I take the boys to eat and play basketball?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, of course." And I thought Pfizer, that first dose protected him. I thought he was safe. So she told me they went to eat and they played video games there. She took him to the park. They got off the truck and took off running across the parking lot, and he collapsed. That's where he right there. No, nothing, no, any signs showing. So she called me hysterical, And I wouldn't believe it, you know, not my baby. You know, nothing could happen to my son. So when I got there, they wouldn't let me on the ambulance. I told them, that's my son. They said, you know, I had to stay off the ambulance. So I followed the ambulance to the hospital. And they worked on him for a while. And the doctor came out, just told me your son's dead, you can go home. And I went crazy. I grabbed the doctor, threw him against the wall. I had a police officer all right there, and I just couldn't, it wouldn't register. So I went home, and naturally I got suicidal. I had no reason to be here no more because I didn't have my baby with me. And then I started cursing God out loud because I used to take my son to church every Sunday because we had to be grateful for all our blessings. And I couldn't believe God would let this happen to me after I tried to raise a good man. So just before I decided to do what I was going to do, something in the back of my head said, if I could do that, that'd be a sin and I wouldn't go to heaven. And my wish is to see my son again. So I knew I couldn't do that. I said, I have to change this thing around to something positive. So that's when I decided to go to, I called Governor Abbott, emailed him, and they kept transferring me to somebody else. And so I said, you know, emailed Biden, anybody in the White House, no response. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go up there, ride the motorcycle up there for the attention. I need some answers. And then Senator Ron Johnson he found out about it, and he contacted me, and I couldn't believe it. And I said, yes, sir. He goes, can we do a video chat? I said, sure. So he goes, what do you plan on doing? I said, I don't know, sir. I'm going to go knock on the gate, see if Biden answers. You know, I need some answers. So he asked me, my plans were to do it in October. He asked me to wait till November. So I did, even though I figured, you know, the weather, I'm on the motorcycle. I had a friend of mine decide to ride with me. So we both rode up there, and we met with Johnson at the round table. And that's where I met Brianne Dressing, Dr. Joel Walskog, the founders of React 19. I met little Maddie DeGarry, beautiful little girl, I love her. And, you know, just that's where I started to fight. You know, I said, I have to do more. I feel it. It doesn't matter how many events I go to or how many interviews I do, I have to do more. I mean, I'm limited. I do all I can with what little I have. But I figure I got to keep on. I have to continue fighting this stuff because when I registered, you know, I did a GoFundMe to get up there, and they canceled it. They said it went against the rules and regulations. Ivory Hecker, she talked me into getting a life funder. And then she called me that day, the next morning. We did it that one afternoon. The next morning she called me and she said, can we do another interview? You know, I was trying to figure, you know, we just did one yesterday. But I said, yes, ma'am, of course. She goes, how do you feel? I said, I'm okay. I seen a doctor in Houston. Him and his wife donated $1,000 for my trip. She goes, Ernest, you know you're over $10,000 already in less than 24 hours. And I said, that was a blessing. There was a purpose. So that's what we used to go up there. And then I'm surprised GoFundMe's still up after all the negativity with what they did to me and then what they did to the truck drivers. So we went up there, and that's where I met, like I said, the whole group. And I just started fighting with, you know, trying to help React 19. Because, like I said, I'd love to see little Maddie walk again.
Thank you for watching this special edition of We Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson, presented by We the Patriots USA, featuring the full-length interview with Ernest Ramirez, even things that fell on the cutting room floor in the making of the documentary Shot Dead, which you can view at shotdead.org. Today, I'm talking to you about the Wellness Company and their spike support. The Wellness Company was formed by a team of doctors, including Dr. Peter McCullough, who's in this film, who lost their jobs for speaking up about the vaccines and pushing back against the lockdowns and the mandates. Spike support formula is the only product that contains ingredients researched to block and dissolve COVID spike protein in the bloodstream. Whether you had to get the shot, you had COVID and you just never really fully got over it, or you're watching the research pour in about vaccine shedding, spike protein can be a serious concern, but there is something you can do now to protect yourself and keep you and your family well. Hundreds of people, vaccinated or not, have reported better mental clarity, increased energy levels, and more. The Wellness Company says take spike protein daily to combat spike proteins and get back to that pre-COVID feeling. Go to twc.health/WeThePatriotsUSA. WTPUSA, and use code WTPUSA to save 10% off at checkout. That's twc.health/WTPUSA, code WTPUSA for 10% off. Welcome back into Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson, a special edition, a special Shot Dead edition, the film that we just premiered at shotdead.org. We are showing you the full-length interviews all month long. Each episode is going to be a full-length interview from one of the families or the doctors featured in this film. Today, we are showing you the full-length interview from Ernest Ramirez, father of 16-year-old Ernesto Ramirez Jr., who died 5 days after the Pfizer shot. Here is Ernest.
And that's my whole mission now, you know, bring awareness to all the families, because I don't want to get any emails, text messages anymore. I get them from all over the world. And I've been asked to go everywhere. Please, we need help here. But, you know, I'm nobody. I'm a regular person. I'm not an elected official. I'm not some famous actor. I'm just an average person. But I'm trying to do whatever I can to help, you know. I'd love to travel. They don't even allow me to go to other countries. Every time my name is put down on an airline ticket to go overseas, it gets canceled right then and there. I'll get there someday, one way or another. They wouldn't give me the autopsy report. The judge that signed it said I'd call him, and he told me he gave it to, I forgot the word, the group that had it, that I went to go get it from. They were bouncing me around from two different places, and they kept saying, you know, oh, I don't have it, I send it off. No, I haven't received it yet, back and forth. So I said, you know what, I'm tired of arguing with y'all. I said, I'm going to let an attorney talk to both of you. And miracle of God, next morning, your autopsy is ready. So I got it, picked it up, and Dr. Peter McCullough reviewed it. He's the one that verified it was a vaccine that killed my son. My son's heart was over twice the normal size it should have been. And Ivory Hecker did a good job. I handed to her because I thought she came just to interview me. She interviewed everyone there, the county, the health department there. She interviewed the doctor in charge of all the hospitals. I have it on tape on her interview where he denied, he said my son wasn't vaccinated at his hospital. And she showed him the card. He goes, she asked him about, has anybody died in that hospital? He goes, no, no one had died in my hospital. And then when he said, well, you know, about my son, he goes, oh, if that's the same boy we're talking about, he was obese. I said, well, the thing is, he just said no one died in that hospital. Now all of a sudden an obese child died. I said, so he's backing up on his own words right there. And then she kept on showing him all the evidence, showed a picture of Junior, and he said it looks like a normal teenage boy. And, you know, so he called the health department, and they said, oh, they couldn't find his paperwork. It magically disappeared. And that's why I said, you know, stuff like that irritating. I hate a person that lies. I don't lie. You ask me a question, whether I'm right or wrong, I'm going to admit it, you know. I'm sorry, I did this, you know, let's move on, you know. I'm not going to keep lying to you because a lie will come out. And that's the type of stuff I'm dealing with. He called me, he texted me at first, and He told me I was spreading misinformation. I said, I'm going by your interview. Everything you said on that interview. I said, if you need a copy, I'll send you a copy. And then he wanted me to meet him for lunch. I said, no. I started thinking, I wanted to, but I said, no, he's going to set me up for something, some trouble, to get me in trouble. I said, no. I blocked him on everything, so I won't, you know, have any type of contact with him. And when I got the trailer out, the first thing I did was drive it by the DHR hospital in Edinburgh, Texas. So, and I made sure everyone's seen it around there. And I will keep doing that, too. I mean, because that's where he was vaccinated, same place where he said my son wasn't vaccinated at. So, I mean, that's the main thing. I mean, like I said, I hate liars. And especially when it comes to injuring or killing kids. I mean, because look, if I do something like that, anyone, if I hit a kid, I get, you know, child abuse charges. If I murder a child, I will be sitting in the penitentiary for murdering a child. Why aren't these people in jail, locked up? I mean, look at all the injuries and deaths they've caused. And especially to babies, you know. That's, I don't understand, you know. I had a friend, her brother-in-law died from COVID, supposedly. And they filed for FEMA, funeral assistance. And they sent her a check, $9,000, I think, to help. And naturally, I had insurance on myself, so if something happened to me, I would leave my son in good standing. I didn't expect my son to pass before I did. So I filed with FEMA to help me bury my son. You know, I had nothing. So they asked me for all the paperwork, death certificates, everything, and I sent it to them, exactly what they asked for. And then they turned around and told me, this was around July. They said, your son didn't die of COVID. I said, no, he died from the Pfizer vaccine. They said, well, we can't help you. I said, you know what, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I'll figure something out. I had friends from all over, people just donated money to help me bury my son, which I was been really grateful for that. So, and then I started traveling, speaking at different events, doing all this stuff. In December 2021, I got a phone call. People quit calling me and talking to me. I lost all my friends because of the government. They said, I'm getting too much attention from the government. And so my phone rang. I said, well, I didn't know who it would be. It was Dr. Robert Malone. He called to see if I was okay and how I was doing because it was just a couple of days before Christmas. And naturally, I was torn up. And he lifted my spirits. He'd call me at the right time. Anyway, after that, a little later, I get another phone call. And I thought maybe it's another doctor. And it was FEMA calling me. They needed more information. I said, no, you don't. You have everything you asked for. I said, so, and you denied me. So just destroy that application and leave me alone. And they said, they had me on the phone for over 45 minutes. Mr. Ramirez, if you can do this, if you can change your son's death certificate so it says COVID, we can help you financially. I said, no. I said, I will not disrespect my son like that. I will not, you know, falsify government documents for financial gain. I said, I told you, just destroy that application, leave me alone. And she kept on and off hold. She kept on putting me on hold. And finally, to the end, I just got frustrated. I said, I already told you, destroy that stuff. Don't bother me no more. And anybody that's listening in, I said, you tell them, you want more information on me and my son? Google my son's name, and you'll find out exactly who we are. And she lowered her voice to a whisper. She actually said, I'm so sorry, Mr. Ramirez, and she hung up. Then they called me just about every month. They would send me emails, and I had people, attorneys asking me for the emails. They magically disappeared. I didn't know you could, you know, delete emails. So they're magically gone. And I had an attorney tell me, next time they call you, record it. So I got a voice recorder, and we were talking for about 13 minutes, and they finally hung up. So when I went to review the recorder, all you hear is a click and 13 minutes of dead air. And I know it can't be the recorder because I have recordings of me and Dr. Peter McCullough speaking on the phone, me and other doctors. So I tested it, and it works fine. Then when I decided to record FEMA, that's all I got. I went to a shop and asked for a certain recorder so I can record conversations. He goes, but, you know, he goes, I got this, $100, this one's $200, they're high, you know, top of the line. And he goes, what are you trying to record? I said, well, I have a FEMA calling me and I need to record the conversations we have. He goes, that's government. I said, yes. He goes, it's not going to work. He goes, I can sell you anything here in my shop. He goes, but it's not, you can't record them. He goes, they have a way of not being recorded. So, I mean, like I said, to this day, they keep bothering me for that. They keep trying to, the last time I talked to them, they offered me $10,000 to $35,000. I said, that's nothing. I said, my son was my world. You'd have to give me the world double over, and then that's still not going to be enough to keep me happy, you know, because the only thing that's going to keep me happy is my son being next to me, and they can't do that. So, I mean, I'd love to sue Fauci, Biden, everyone, NIH, CDC, FDA, all of them. I'd like to take all their money. They need to be broke and locked up and suffer because of all the money they made off the injuries and death. And with that same money, I would love that. That's what I tell Brianne. With that same money, I would be able to help all my vaccine injured. I'd put it back in a program to help everybody to try to get a normal life. I mean, my life will never be normal because my son will never be with me. But at least I could see it in the injured, you know, seeing them smile and be happy, living a normal life. That would bring some type of peace to me. So that'd be worth it. Because like I said, I get thumbs up or people honking. I've even had, when I first got it, I would stop at a stoplight. Naturally, you're waiting for that next vehicle to stop next to you. They'll stop back here at the trailer to look at all the pictures. And at each and every stoplight I stop at, nobody stops next to me no more. They stop next to the trailer to look at it. Which the whole purpose of it, that's it, why I have it. So they're going to talk about it. Maybe somebody will pick it up. Hopefully local media will finally put it up there. You know, this gentleman from South Texas has this trailer he's traveling in. And it'll reach more people. Or you maybe, you know, okay, one person's going to say, I seen this trailer with Vax injured and this junior that passed away. Then they're going to tell two people, and they'll tell more, and they'll just spread out like that, like wildfire. That's what I'm hoping, because we can't get the word out enough. Because right now, who can you imagine how many children are getting vaccinated right now? I mean, I'm pretty sure. And then how many are dying? How many people that have lost children, and they told them, you know, we're going to write it down as COVID so we can help you bury your child, you know, or that, or they, I've heard where, well, I didn't get no, you know, I'll ask them, did you get sample tissues before you buried your son? Or they'll tell me no, because he was cremated. They'll cremate the child right then and there, as you know, without, that way they destroy evidence. That's what it is. So,
thank you for watching this special edition of Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson. Here in November, we are showing you the full-length interviews of the families featured in the film Shot Dead. You can see the whole feature-length film at shotdead.org. I promise if you think this is a powerful interview, just see it in the context of all of these families and weaving all of their stories together. It is powerful. We'll be back in just a moment. You can head to taryngregson.com and get your HPV, your MMR, and your fluoride resource guide, as well as the new aluminum resource guide. If you sign up for our newsletter, it's free. You'll get all of those resource guides free to your inbox, studies, research, everything straight to your inbox. And then you will also get our weekly emails showing you what is coming up on Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson and more. You can also check out the vaccine exemptions by state. Wherever you're at, in the United States, you can get the information you need to get your child an exemption to go to school or whatnot. You can also visit the resources at taryngregson.com/resources. We have breaking news, recipes, clean living tips, you name it, up at taryngregson.com. Welcome back in to Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson, the final segment of the special edition episode behind Shot Dead, our new feature-length film, our documentary that we premiered here in the month of November. Because of that, we are also showing you all month long the special full-length interviews that we did for this film. We wanted you to see these heartbreaking interviews because they're so powerful woven together. They are also powerful and they're full length as well. And so we want you to see that. You were hearing from Father Ernest Ramirez in today's episode.
I mean, I don't understand. We're getting in a crazy world and it's just going to get worse. I keep telling you, it's going to get worse before it gets any better. Like I said, Dr. Tom Witcher asked me permission if he could put Junior's billboard up in Mississippi. And he said, Ernest, do you mind? I said, no, sir, you're more than welcome to. He goes, don't worry about it. I'm going to pay for it out of pocket. I said, yeah, I'll be honored, sir, if you would do that. You know, we had plans already. I said, the first billboard you put up, I'm going to drive up there on the bike, and we're going to take pictures. He had reporters standing by, and they denied him. No, they wouldn't let him put a billboard up anywhere in Mississippi. So that's something inside told me to get a trailer and wrap it with all the vaccine injured and Junior's picture. And I started thinking, you know, I can't financially. I'm not able to do stuff like that. But, you know, like I said, you know, I even called a minister for a friend of mine. I asked him, have you ever talked to God? Have you heard God before? He goes, yeah, I talk to him all the time and I've heard his voice. I said, is it an actual voice or what? He goes, no, it's something inside you. I said, well, because, and I told him, you know, I feel something telling me to buy a trailer. And like I said, I don't have the money to buy a trailer, but something's telling me to buy a trailer. So, you know, I just felt I need to do it. I need to turn it into a rolling billboard. You know, no one can tell me what to do with my own property. So, that's why I did it. You know, it wasn't my thinking or my choice to do something like this, but I think it was a good thing. I'm glad, you know, yeah, maybe the good Lord was telling me, you know, you need to do this and this is going to happen. That's why I did it. So I made sure people would see that Pfizer did murder my son and he injured so many other thousands, if not millions of people also. I had to have my son. I said, this was not just about my son. It's about everybody involved that's been affected with all these poisons. It's not just one manufacturer, it's all of them. And the main two ones here, well, I should three or four, we'll have Dr. Joel Walskog, co-founder of React 19. Then we have Breanne Dressing, co-founder of React 19 also. Let me see. She's on the other side. Oh, here we go. Here's one of little Maddie DeGary. And we also have Mona down here. She was in D.C. with us. I mean, like I said, there's so many of them. I don't know them all personally. And it's not just here in the U.S. These are people from all over. There's some from all Australia. They were telling me, Ernest, thank you for putting my picture up there. I mean, it wasn't just me. These pictures, Breanne Dressing helped me out with a lot. Because I asked everyone across all social platforms, you know, that what I'm doing, and I want to include my vaccine injured family with it too. I said, and we're going to send you pictures. And I said, no, don't send them directly to me. I sent them to Breanne Dressing. I said, please send them to React 19 so she can organize them, and then we'll get it going from there. So, like I said, you know, we had to make sure Junior's website, like on the other side, I'm sorry, I should have mentioned that. I have Junior's website here. Like I said, on the website, I haven't updated it yet. I've been traveling too much. But I have our meeting with Senator Ron Johnson. I have a song one of the local artists, but it's in Spanish, a local artist made for Junior and about me fighting back the government. And, you know, other little pictures of injured and everything. And so that's the application. You know, any vaccine injured or grieving families could put their information on there for me, and they can reach out to me. And then I had to make sure React 19 is also on there. I've always said, God didn't kill my son. It was man. Man killed my son. And the thing is, God knew this was all set out. He knew this was going to happen. God knows my heart. He knows the type of person I am. And he figured, you know, this is going to happen to you, but you are going to fight for me. He knows I'm the type that I don't give up and I don't back down. So I figured this is a fight for him. I tell everyone too. I said, look, man, everyone here is waiting for a miracle. I said, we can't wait for a miracle. We are the miracle. We have to make our own miracles. I said, you don't realize we're here to serve him. He's not here to serve us. So we need to do something now. We put ourselves in this position, so we need to fix it. And, you know, a lot of people would tell me, you know, you need to pray for these people. You need to do this or that. I said, no, I don't. Not all God's soldiers are asked to pray. Some of them, us, are called into battle. So this is what we have to do. You know, like I said, I'm just an average person. But if we all bond together, could you imagine we can move the world? But it takes more than one person. So that's why I ask people to help. Please help. You know, I'm just one man. So that's all I can ask for. If everyone would just do their little part, that's all it takes. You know, we can move mountains.
Thank you so much for tuning into this special edition, full-length episode of Father Ernest Ramirez in our film, Shot Dead. You must see how his story intertwines with that of the Martins who lost their 19-year-old daughter and that of Tori White who lost her 11-hour-old baby. She had her child born with several malformations. So many pregnant women were forced to get this shot. You hear how Ernest Ramirez is heartbroken for the babies. He's heartbroken to lose his baby, his 16-year-old son. You can see in all of their stories woven together, along with doctors and experts like Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, and so on, in the film Shot Dead at shotdead.org. View it for free on demand and do us a favor. The biggest thing that you can do for us is share it. Help this to catch fire. Help people to see the truth. ShotDead.org.
If you enjoy our content, prayerfully consider making a tax-deductible donation at WePatriotsUSA.org so we can continue to power the education arm of our mission that also extends to work to preserve and reclaim our God-given inalienable rights. God bless, and thank you from everyone here on Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson, presented by We the Patriots USA.
We the Patriots USA does not endorse or recommend any product or service advertised on this program. We the Patriots USA is not a healthcare provider and cannot provide medical advice or treatment.